Auditors say federally run Native American schools need more oversight on spending. A report from the Government Accountability Office finds that the schools improperly spent nearly $14 million. In one case, a hacker transferred $1.7 million from a school to an offshore bank account. Melissa Emery Aris is the Director of Education, Workforce, and Income Security Issues at GAO. She joins me now with more on their findings. Good morning, and thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Tom. Thank you for having me.
All right. So first of all, tell us the Bureau of Indian Education, where does that live in the federal government?
Good question. That lives in the Department of Interior.
And so Interior, I guess, has issues over the years with Indian affairs in general. What is the scope of that bureau? What does it do? How many children does it have education responsibility for?
Sure. They oversee 185 schools, which serve about 41,000 students who live on or near Indian reservations.
And so this is a nationwide deal.
Correct. These are schools throughout the country that serve children from, you know, elementary school on up. And our focus is really on seeing how the money that's dedicated for these students and these schools is spent and whether it's appropriately spent.
And how much money is spent altogether, federal dollars in the first place?
About $830 million was spent in fiscal year 2014, and what that goes for is primarily instruction, transportation, facilities, and administrative costs. Most of the funds actually come from the Department of Interior, about 75%. However, close to a quarter also come from the Department of Education for education-related services. The funding goes to pay for teaching, tutoring, as well as special education services.
And is the assumption that because of sometimes economic conditions at the reservations, there are lots of needs that are unique to reservation schools that maybe other public schools don't have?
That's correct. Students at these schools have a higher poverty rate. They also have a higher need for special education services. Also, the schools have unique characteristics that make them particularly challenging to serve students. For example, many of them are located in remote locations, which drives up the cost of transportation. For example, transportation costs are more than twice as much at these schools than at public schools. And the reason behind that is that the actual bus trips are pretty long compared to, you know, your average suburban or city bus trip, which may not be that long. The daily bus routes for these schools averaged 80 miles, and some were more than 320 miles. That's for a single bus route.
And they're not exactly going in scenic cruisers either. It's rough stuff out there. And so what did you find? So basically, before we get to the findings of this particular investigation, it sounds like the Interior Department basically pays the bills for the entire, well, the three departments you mentioned, primarily Interior, pay for almost the entire costs of these schools.
Right. About three-fourths of the funding comes from Interior and the other comes from Education. So on the whole, these are really federally funded schools, which is a very different scenario than what you have for other public schools where most of the money tends to come from state and local sources, and only a small fraction for most public schools comes from the federal government.
All right, so we're getting close to the billion-dollar range. There's real money involved. What were some of GAO's findings with respect to improper spending by the people at the school? Well, who did it and how much did they spend?
Sure. I think, as you mentioned, there was this mysterious case of money being transferred to an offshore bank account. There are claims that this was due to hacking, though it was really unclear what the source was. Mysteriously, $1.7 million was taken and then $500,000 was mysteriously returned. So I think that's a cause for concern about the security in place that allowed that to happen. Also, schools were doing things that were really inappropriate and also illegal. For example, in one case, we found a school had given money to a local public school in terms of a no-interest loan. So instead of using the money for their own students who are in desperate need, they gave the money away, which is against the law. They also were accumulating money in savings accounts. So, for example, one school accumulated almost $1 million in savings that were intended to provide special education services to needy students. So these were really sort of concerning situations. In addition to our findings, an administration study group also found that about $125 million was sitting around in these unspent bank accounts accumulating interest. So I think, you know, more needs to be done to make sure that when money is given to these schools, that it actually goes to the students and doesn't sit around just bringing in additional interest for schools.
We're speaking with Melissa Emery-Arris. She's Director of Education, Workforce, and Income Security Issues at the GAO. And so there's the issue then becomes oversight of this money. And it sounds like you're fingering the Interior Department, that the Bureau of Indian Education itself, for poor oversight.
That's correct. We made multiple recommendations because we found, on the whole, very minimal and lax oversight of these funds. We found that the people that were supposed to be overseeing these schools did not have the right skills to actually know what they were doing. The people that were looking after these funds were not auditors or accountants, and several that we spoke with said that they didn't actually have the financial knowledge to understand the audits that they were responsible for reviewing. So these were people that were in charge of the money who didn't know what to look for. We also found instances where people who were supposed to have access to independent audits were denied access to those audits, making it very difficult for them to do their jobs. We also found cases where the Bureau did not have written procedures for basically monitoring these funds. So very simple things like having procedures that teach people how and when they should conduct, you know, on-site audits versus desk audits is very helpful, as well as having guidance on what types of documents you should look for when you're doing a review. And those kinds of materials were just simply not there, creating a vacuum which made it very difficult to monitor these schools.
And is this the case with other channels of spending at the Interior Department, or is the Bureau of Indian Education seemingly an outlier with respect to oversight skill?
That's a good question. This particular study was focused really on the Bureau of Indian Education, so I'm not able to speak to issues outside of that, but I think what we found here is very concerning. I think the fact that there are cases where schools were clearly doing things that were illegal or improper, and the department was not reacting to that. They would tend to do their monitoring on a very much an ad hoc basis. So if a staff member said, hey, we should look at this school, they would go and look at that school. But it really wasn't based on any kind of analysis of risk. So you would have situations where there were schools that had clear problems identified in external audits for a number of years that were simply not being monitored, even though they were the riskiest schools for the department.
And what about the Education Department? They were kicking in, you know, roughly a couple of $100 million toward this program. Did they have much interest in oversight?
They do have an interest in oversight. We actually sent them a copy of our report as well, and they're actually working on the issue of money being sort of collected in bank accounts versus being spent on services, and they're putting together some guidance to encourage schools to spend those funds on students and not to have the funds simply accumulate. So they are working on that issue to try to resolve that.
And how did this all get to GAO's attention? I mean, obviously a congressperson asked you, but it sounds like maybe a whistleblower was at the heart of this investigation.
Well, we did have people bring up a lot of things to us during the course of our work, and we found what they brought to us very disturbing. The study itself was requested by the House Appropriations Committee, and so we did it as a congressional request. Though, like you said, there were people who came to us during the course of the study with some very concerning findings. Plus, we also found a lot of the incidents on our own. We would go through the independent audits and find issues and then talk to officials about them. And unfortunately, in several cases, when we brought issues up, they were unaware of them, even though they had been published in independent audits already. So I think that sort of gives you a flavor for the lack of monitoring and oversight that was taking place.
So have the higher-ups at the BIE and also Interior Department, have they agreed that they need to send some financial auditors that are professional with sharp pencils throughout this program?
They have agreed with our recommendations in general, particularly with our focus on making sure that they have the right number of people with the right skills and training to appropriately oversee the funding, which we think will be helpful. It's important to make sure that they follow through on our recommendations to really guarantee that the money that's being directed at these schools goes to the intended students so that they can learn, so that they can catch up with their public school peers and not continue the cycle of being disadvantaged.
Melissa Emery-Aris is Director of Education, Workforce, and Income Security Issues at the Government Accountability Office. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.